Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome life issue you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear about it right now and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ and walking in His life every day. The lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do have plenty of open lines, and we would love to hear from you right now. Go ahead and call that number and be a part of the Basic Gospel broadcast today. We're talking about righteousness this month, and all of us have this longing, this deep desire to be right with God. We want to know that we're okay. Now, in today's world, many people are saying to God, look, this is what my life is all about. This is what I'm choosing to do. I want you to put your rubber stamp on it and say, you're okay with me living this way. You're okay with me that you think I'm okay in your book. But that's not how it works. We can't get God to bend his righteousness to meet our standards of righteousness. There's only one righteousness, and that's his. And so God in Jesus Christ is going to change us, to transform us, and to make us righteous so that we can be compatible with him. Now, this righteousness is not something that we can earn. It's God's to give. And we need to recognize that. And when we do, this gospel message really starts to fall into place. Yesterday, we talked about the fact that in the gospel, a righteousness is revealed. Many of us are trying to find righteousness through all sorts of ways and means. We've come up with our own standard of righteousness. If I will just, you know, give to the poor, and if I will just do this, and if I would just clean up my language, and if I would just be a better citizen, then I think I'm going to be okay in God's sight. Well, that's not going to make it. That's not going to cut it. That doesn't get you the righteousness that you need to have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. No one will be declared righteous through obedience to the law. No, for us to be declared righteous, that has to come as a gift from God. Now, that's what the whole book of Romans is about, this righteousness that is revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and how God gives us this righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. We see this in Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. So the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Many of us try to look to the law to see the righteousness of God, and certainly we see that God is righteous through the law, and we see how we could be possibly righteous if we abide by all those things, but we just can't do it. Most of us can't even get past commandment number one to have no other gods before him. Certainly Israel could not make it past commandment number one, but we see something apart from the law, and that's through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God. So the law and the prophets, Moses, the first five books of the Old Testament, the Torah, and then the prophets, and even the wisdom books, all of those bear witness to the righteousness of God that has now been revealed to us apart from the law. Now, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So righteousness does not come to us through obedience to the law. It is given through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. I love that. I love that sentence. I mean, we live in a world where favoritism is just a way of life. One group, they all huddle together and they show favoritism to all the members of that group, and they look down their noses at other people who are outside the group. We see that in all areas of life. We see favoritism as a way of the world, and favoritism is a means of dividing human beings one from another. But God sees no distinction, and he makes no distinctions between people groups. Why? Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forth as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. So it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter your ethnicity. It doesn't matter your social status. All of those things are meaningless as far as God is concerned. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And there's no way that we can make ourselves right in the sight of God. There's no way that we can work ourselves out of this condition of spiritual death. We need a power outside of us. And that power is contained in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when our hearts respond to that good news concerning Jesus, when we say yes to the story of Christ, then we are given his righteousness. He took our sins upon himself, and in exchange, he gives us his righteousness. And it's done freely. It's something that he wants to do. This is his desire, his heart's desire, to give us his righteousness as a gift of grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. That's why they call this good news, folks. That's why this gospel is the only message that can meet the needs of the human heart, that can answer that question, what does it take for me to be right with God? The gospel answers with a gift of grace called the righteousness of God. And that righteousness is given to you, and you become the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It answers that question. And it also enables us to see people from God's perspective. And instead of dividing, and instead of being showing favoritism one group to another, we can just see human beings for who they are, people for whom Christ died. That changes everything. Well, thank you for joining us today. My name is Bob Christopher, and this is Basic Gospel. We have plenty of open lines, and we would love to hear from you on this edition, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Go ahead and call that number. We would love to address your question on today's broadcast. We are talking about righteousness. We're putting together a special resource that we want to send to you. Every Sunday morning, I go through a Bible study, and we've been working through the book of Romans, and we've put together a series on the first four chapters called Revealed, and we want to put that in your hands. What's been revealed? That word revealed is our English word apocalypse, and what's been revealed is this righteousness of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that counters this condemnation that we're all under that's revealed to us from heaven. So we know from just living in this world what God is like. We know his divine nature, his power. We see all of that, and we understand that we are under judgment because we don't match up with who he is. We don't hit the target. We miss the mark. So we see that revealed in nature, but in the gospel we see the solution. We see this great salvation in this righteousness that's given to us. So this resource is called Revealed. We want to put that in your hands. It's available for a gift this month to Basic Gospel. It will help you really experience your freedom in Christ Jesus. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. It's so good that you are with us today. and 844-322-2742 is the number. We would love to hear from you right now. We're going to go and talk to Paul, or actually listen to this question from Paul that came in overnight.
My name is Paul. My question is, what changes take place to and in the church during the few years during the so-called pre-tribulation, while Satan's setting up things for the tribulation, and also during the first half of the tribulation, and during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation? Changes such as church closings, government control, false prophet preachers, what happens to the good preachers that were in churches, how many stay, how many go? If you could break that down, I'd sure appreciate it. Bye now.
Well, Paul, I wish I could break that down. I would have to be a prophet to really look into the future and be able to see exactly what's going to happen. We do know this, that Jesus said he was going to build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We do know that Jesus has marked out the true believers through the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's a comfort to each and every one of us, that we already have been marked out as people who belong to God, as the church of Jesus Christ. So his Spirit will enable us to persevere and be right what we need to be at any given moment. So as far as leadership in churches, we can see all sorts of things happen. I think that's part of what we see in the book of Revelation and these messages to the various churches, the leadership groups. And they had taken up causes to try to change the world and that sort of thing. And they had lost their first love. They had become worldly. We see all of these sort of things happening in those particular churches. So I think in leaderships of various denominations and church groups, we're going to see people getting off mark as far as what they think their mission is. And, you know, God made it very simple for all of us. Our mission as a body of believers is to testify to the gospel of God's grace, period, end of story. We don't need to add to that. We don't need to try to make it more palatable to the world around us. We just simply need to proclaim the grace of God. And we can do so as ministers of reconciliation. We've been reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. The whole world has been reconciled. We take that message out to the world and implore and beg them to be reconciled to God as ambassadors of Christ. We serve as ministers of new covenant, not of the law, but of the Spirit. Why? Because the law kills and the Spirit gives life. So this is what we're to be involved in as the body of Christ, as the church of Jesus Christ, letting people know about the hope that is within us. Who is that hope? It is Jesus Christ himself. So lots of churches, lots of leadership groups are going to get off mark. They're going to try to move in different directions, thinking this is what we really need to be involved in, and lifting that up as the cause, then they're going to diminish what our real work is, and that is in proclaiming Christ Jesus. So will we see that happen? Certainly. But what is our job? What is our role? Simply to lift up the name of Jesus and to call people to faith in him, to receive this forgiveness, to receive this righteousness, to receive this life, so that they could be made new in him and they can find their place within this body of believers. Well, Paul, hope that helps. I know I didn't answer the question specifically, but I think answered it in a way that hopefully is of encouragement to you. So thank you so much for calling. We're going to go to New York and talk to Layla. Is that right?
No, it's Lila.
Lila. Well, I'm sorry about that. Lila, welcome.
Hi, I'm here with my sisters.
Hi.
And hello there.
And we have a question about the Garden of Eden.
Okay.
So, why did God let the serpent, or Satan, the devil, be in the Garden of Eden if he could watch over everything and he knew that Adam and Eve would disobey him?
Well, Layla, that is a fantastic question. And, there's no real answer to that. The Bible doesn't give us an answer as to why God allowed Satan to be in the garden. But we know that God had a plan in Jesus that would overcome whatever Satan tried to do to humanity. So Satan caused Adam and Eve to sin, didn't he?
Yeah.
And we see that. Well, God had a plan to overcome that work that Satan did in luring Adam and Eve to the tree and convincing them that that was what real life was all about. God had a plan, and that was in Jesus Christ. And so some 2,000 years later, God sent Jesus, or many years later, God sent Jesus, and Jesus overcame that work. He defeated sin and death. And now, Layla, when you receive Christ, and I hope you have, and it sounds like you've received Christ, then that power of resurrection has overcome sin and death in your life. And so you're no longer going to be bound to it. So when Adam and Eve chose to sin, they suffered spiritual death. When you choose Jesus, you're given eternal life, and that eternal life can never be taken away from you. So Satan may try to tempt you. Satan may try to do something to lure you away from God. But because of Jesus, he has no power over you anymore, or any of us. Isn't that good news?
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
If you have the time, can I ask one more question?
Yes, please.
If Jesus was basically God, why did he call himself his son?
Another good question. Boy, you are answering asking all the hard ones. we know God is one, but he was manifested in three different persons. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So that's how God has chosen to reveal himself. So we see in that God the Father and God the Son kind of a family relationship, don't we? And the reason there's this family relationship is because God wants you and me to be a part of that family relationship. So when we receive Christ, we become children of God, and we can call God our Father. As a matter of fact, the Spirit comes to live inside of him, and the Spirit inspires us and encourages us to cry out to God as Daddy Father. So we become a part of this family. So I think that's one of the reasons. That doesn't mean that God the Father gave birth to Jesus Christ the Son. It's just simply the role that Jesus was fulfilling within that Godhead. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I never would have thought about it that way. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Thanks so much for your call. Hey, can I put you on hold?
Okay.
And would love to send you some great resources that you might really enjoy working through, you and your sisters. Well, that call ended, but oh, what a sweet call that was. And how exciting to hear 11-year-olds really start reading the Bible and asking some of those very difficult questions that we all want answers to. So praise God that she called and joined us on today's broadcast. Well, let's go to this caller from that came in overnight.
Good afternoon. My question is, if Mary took Jesus to Egypt, how could he have blonde hair and blue eyes and hide in Egypt?
Well, that's a great question. And to think that Jesus had blonde hair and blue eyes, I think, is not really understanding history very, very well, or the area of the world that Jesus was born into. I think if we see pictures of Jesus with blonde hair and blue eyes, that is coming out of the imagination of man. That has nothing to do with historical reality. So Jesus was born in the Middle East, and he probably looked like a Middle Easterner, and that's somebody with probably browner skin and darker hair. But of course, we don't have pictures, and I think there's good reason for that. But here's the good news: just as we read earlier at the top of the hour, God shows no favoritism. He shows no distinction. He created man. He created the male and female, and there's a lot of variety within this human race. And when we all stand together side by side, the variations in our skin and the differences in our hair and all the differences in how we look make up one beautiful human race. We just look around and we see the creativity of God in how he expresses what each and every one of us look like. And so we need to rejoice in that. We need to just praise God for just the beauty of the human race and the variation within the human race. And then we need to rejoice in the fact that he has made an offer of eternal life to each and every person, that there's no distinction. All have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God, and all can be freely justified by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the good news of the gospel. And boy, is that a powerful truth that will transform a human heart. And boy, is that a truth that is needed out there in the world today. So I just pray as believers that we will more and more lift up the name of Jesus, lift up the story of his death, his burial, his resurrection, and let Jesus be the one that draws us to himself. And in drawing us to himself, we become drawn to one another, and we can stand shoulder to shoulder with love in our hearts for God, love in our hearts for one another. Well, thank you for that call. That was a fantastic question. This has been a wonderful broadcast. Thank you for being a part of it. We'll be back tomorrow with a special Independence Day broadcast. Please join us for that. And then we'll be back next week for more of these live call-in programs. So join us Monday for another live call-in program. And also join me Sunday morning. Coleman and Greg will be here as well. But for our Sunday morning live, we're working through the book of Romans. We're in Romans chapter 7, the second half of Romans chapter 7. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do anyway. We've all been there. We've all had that experience. And there is a way out. There is a way of victory. And that's what we're going to talk about this Sunday on Sunday Morning Live. So join us at 9:30 Central Time at basicgospel.net. Click either the Facebook link or the YouTube link and join us then. Well, thank you again for being a part of this one today. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.